Well, hey, I want to welcome everybody here. My name is Ethan. I'm our student pastor here at the London campus. And then for everybody watching online and everybody joining at our Williamsburg campus, we want to welcome you too. Can we put our hands together for them? Thanks for being with us. So when I was growing up, one of my favorite movies to watch around the Christmas season was this movie right here. It was A Christmas Story. Who loves A Christmas Story? Yeah. Okay. We got some love for it. I grew up watching this movie. My parents basically forced me to love it. I've seen it so many times, I could probably quote it backwards. And because of that, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with it now because, you know, I love it, but I've seen it so many times, it's like I get sick when I see it. It's just that kind of movie that you see over and over and over again. But I love it, and so many of us love it because it's an easy movie to love. It's such a relatable story. It's this epic journey of a boy named Ralphie, who during the Christmas season only has one wish, like Mariah Carey. There's only one thing he wants for Christmas, and it's not love. Instead, you remember what it is? You remember the full quote? It's an official Red Ryder Carbine Action 200 shot range model air rifle. In other words, he wants a BB gun for Christmas. He wants a BB gun. He wants this Red Ryder BB gun. And he tries every single way to convince somebody to believe in him and to support this dream that he has. But what does he hear every single time he says that he wants the Red Ryder BB gun? You shoot your eye out, kid. That's what the mall Santa tells him. You'll shoot your eye out. Everybody from his parents to his teacher to the mall Santa, he is rejected time after time after time, but still yet Ralphie, he hopes against hope. He does everything he can to make it happen. And even after facing rejection after rejection after rejection, he still has hope. He's done all he can do. At the end of the movie, it's Christmas morning. He's done everything that he can do, and he's tried and he's tried. And he opens up all his gifts, but all he has to show for it this Christmas is a pink bunny suit from his Aunt Clara that his mom makes him wear. Humiliating. It seemed like in that moment, all was lost. But then he discovers one last gift kind of tucked away in the corner. And he goes over and he grabs it and he starts ripping it open, full of hope, full of faith, full of excitement and anticipation. And there it is, the Red Ryder BB gun. He can't believe his eyes. And so immediately he cracks that bad boy open. He runs outside into the freezing cold and the snow just to try this thing out because he's been waiting so, so long. And he shoots it and he's like living out his dream of being the Red Ryder. And then what happens? He still shoots his eye out. Well, the eye of his glasses, that is. And that's how the movie ends. He gets the gun. It's a great Christmas. It's a wonderful ending. He wins the prize. And we're so excited for Ralphie. We're so happy for Ralphie. Such a great movie. And I think the reason that many of us love this story, the reason why it's so classic and the reason why it speaks to so many of us is because it's a story of hope. That's what A Christmas Story is about. It's a story of hope. And hope is a major theme of the Christmas season. It's a major theme of our lives because hope is essential to our lives. We have to hope in order to live. We have to hope that we can make something out of today in order to just get out of bed in the morning, to live and to do life, to know or hope or believe that life is worth the living and that the work is worth the doing, that the journey is worth the traveling. And so we have hope. All of us have things that we want in life, just like Ralphie did. Things that all of us hope for, whether it's small things or big things. But the tricky thing about hope is that it tends to be elusive. It kind of comes and goes depending on how life is going. Sometimes our hope is strong and it's present and it's motivating. You know, when the things in life are going our way, we tend to see the glass half full. We tend to be a little bit more optimistic. We tend to be more hopeful for the future. But then other times, when life isn't going our way, when things aren't working out, our hope tends to run low. Because all of us know this from experience. You and I have lived enough life to know that we don't always get what we hope for. Things don't always work out. That's just life. That's how life is. It's not fair. We don't always get the Red Ryder BB gun. And sometimes when we do get the Red Ryder, we still shoot our eye out. It lets us down. It's not what we hoped for. It's not what we expected. So whether it was a big hope or a small hope, something silly like a Christmas gift, like a BB gun on Christmas, or something meaningful and larger in life, all of us know what it feels like to have our hopes dashed. Maybe this morning you're here and you know, in your story, in your experience, you hoped that your business would succeed, but you had to close the doors. Maybe you had hoped to keep your job, but you got laid off anyway. Maybe you had hoped that your family would stay together, but instead it fractured apart. Maybe you had hoped to raise a family, but you were told by the doctors that you could never have children. So maybe your hopes were dashed. Maybe the rug was pulled out from under you. Maybe you're here this morning and your hopes feel delayed. And the longer you wait, the more it seems like what you hope for is never gonna show up. Maybe you're hoping to find a spouse, but the years are passing you by and you're not getting any younger and the options are getting fewer. And so you're starting to feel the tension. You feel like that's never gonna come. Maybe you're hoping for a financial breakthrough, but the bills just keep piling up and you don't really see a way out. Maybe you're hoping for answers from the doctor, hoping against hope for healing, to get better. Maybe you're sick, maybe someone you love is sick, but that hope is running out because time is ticking and the odds are stacked against you. For those of us who didn't get what we were hoping for, and for those of us who are stuck in the waiting, hope is a difficult thing to hold on to. In that season, maybe in the season that you find yourself this morning, we find ourselves not hopeful, but rather confused, sad, and really, in a word, disappointed. We're disappointed. And we don't like being disappointed because disappointment is difficult. Disappointment is hard to deal with. Disappointment has a way of almost coloring our lives if we allow it to. It can paint our lives entirely. And if we're disappointed enough times, it can, if we allow it to, become a mindset from which we live the rest of our lives. And that makes us bitter. That sucks all of the joy out of life. You know people that are really difficult to put up with? People that are bitter, people that are just so, like, impossible to please. I would hazard a guess that at one point or another in their story, they got their hopes up for something and they were disappointed. It either never came or it wasn't what they expected. Disappointment can rob us of life if we allow it to. And many of us this morning, we would describe our situation with this word right here, disappointed. We hate it, and it's for good reason. It's not fun. But last week, as I was kind of preparing for this talk, I came across an article that posed a very challenging and interesting question. And that question is, what if disappointment can actually be a good thing? What if it can be a good thing? In other words, what if disappointment can teach us something about life? Teach us something about ourselves? Because see, the reality is all of us hope in something. We all have hope in something, and our hope is always attached to something. So what if disappointment is a signal to us that we placed our hope in something that was never meant to hold it in the first place? Something that had the capacity to let us down ultimately. Something that didn't have our best interest in mind. Something that was fragile, uncertain, unsure. If that's true, then that begs the question, is there something that we can put our hope in? Is there something? What if there was a hope available to us that would never fail? A hope that we could be certain in regardless of circumstances, regardless of how things seem on the surface. A few weeks ago, we started off this series talking about a man named Isaiah, who was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he wrote a book in the Old Testament called the Book of Isaiah. And he was a prophet in the Old Testament who God chose to deliver a message to his people at that particular time, the people of Israel. And that message, it wasn't good. There were enemies on the horizon that were gonna come in and destroy the land. But even in the midst of that dark season that they found themselves in, there was a glimmer of light that shined. And we learned this a couple of weeks ago. God had made a promise hundreds of years before to redeem the entire world through a savior, through a Messiah who would save the world from its sins and make everything right again. And we looked at Isaiah chapter 9, where a part of that promise is reiterated, the glimmer of hope for the people of Israel. However, the reality was is that they still faced attack from their enemies. There were still enemies on the horizon. And after the Assyrian Empire invaded and conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, the nation of Babylon rose up. They conquered the Assyrians. They became the greatest threat. And then they set their sights on the southern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom called Judah. And over a period of many years, Babylon ripped the people of Israel from their homes and deported them to Babylon. And then ultimately in 586 BC, that's when the hammer fell. The final nail was driven in the coffin. Babylon came in and destroyed the capital city of Jerusalem and the temple, the holy temple where God's presence resided. To the people of Israel, this was a killing blow to any hope that they had. And as they were forced out of their ancestral land, as they were forced out of the land that God had given them and God had promised them, they looked upon their city and upon the temple, once so bright, so amazing, so glorious, now smoldering in ruins. And it seemed pretty clear to them, all hope was lost. And you know, just as you and I would, in a situation like that, when we face disappointment, when we face challenges, they were hurt. They were heartbroken. They were disappointed. And that's putting it lightly. Their vision for the future, their hopes to be delivered from their enemies and see the promise of the Savior, maybe even fulfilled in their lifetime, all of that hope was lost. And in Isaiah chapter 40, we find a people in exile whose hopes were lost, struggling with disappointment and despair. But, in the midst of that disappointment, In the midst of that darkness, God speaks a message of comfort, a message of hope to the people. He says, why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. See, Israel's exile in Babylon, it caused them to lose faith in God. And it's easy for us to kind of look back on that and point fingers at that and say, oh, well, you shouldn't have lost faith. You shouldn't have lost hope. But we're the same way. We can't point fingers at that. How many of us have thought or felt, maybe even said, the exact same things? Oftentimes we feel ignored or forgotten by God when we face disappointments and when we face challenges in life, when things that we hope for, things that we wish for, when they don't come or they're delayed. Many of us, myself included, have said or thought the exact same thing. We thought that God didn't care about our disappointment, if he knew about it at all. But in response to Israel's attitude toward all of this, in response to many times our attitude toward disappointment, God doesn't pour out his anger on them. Instead, he gives them a message of comfort. He says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He's saying, don't you realize who I am? Don't forget who I am. He knows everything, including your situation. And not only does he know, but he cares. He cares about the details of our lives. He's intimate with the details of our lives. And despite how things may feel, and despite how things may appear, he is always working. He is always present. He doesn't grow weary like we do. He doesn't get tired. In fact, he gives strength to the weary. And he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but he gives strength to the weary. He increases power to the weak. When we're in a state of disappointment, when our hope is running low, this is us. We're weak and we're weary. How many of you, how many of us are tired this morning? Weak and weary from the unfulfilled hopes, from the waiting. God's promise is that he gives us his strength and he gives us his power to move forward. And that's good news. That's hope that we can hold on to. Because how does he do that? He gives us hope. He says that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. He gives us his hope. That's how we can move forward. But this hope is not just any hope. This is different. This is hope in the Lord. This is different from any other hope that we may have, because it's a hope that's rooted in nothing else except him, in his character, in his goodness, in his power, in his kindness, in his provision, that is nothing but sure and secure. So Isaiah says, when we put our hope in the Lord, our strength is renewed. Strength to face and endure the challenges and the disappointments of life. And this isn't just physical strength. This is so much more than that. It's spiritual and emotional strength. It's resiliency. It's the ability to bounce back when you're pushed down, when your hopes are dashed, and to keep moving forward because there's a greater purpose. That's what God's hope gives us the power to do. And he goes on, he says, those who hope in the Lord, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is a famous verse. You know, a lot of us recognize this. This is on coffee mugs, at Hobby Lobby and Cracker Barrel. It's everywhere on Facebook, especially around this time of year. But even though many of us might be familiar with this verse, I don't want us to overlook this. That doesn't give us an excuse just to kind of skim past it. We need to let this sit in our souls. Let this sit for a moment with you. This is beautiful. And it's true. This is what hope really is. God uses this beautiful imagery of soaring like eagles. You ever read about eagles before? Eagles are awesome. You should go home today and just kind of look them up, read about them. Eagles are incredible. It's an incredible creation by God. They're known for their strength. They're known for their ability to rise above storms. They glide on gusts of wind that carry them above storms when storms come. They soar in clear skies. And this imagery of soaring like eagles, it symbolizes the freedom and the power that comes from trusting in God. Instead of being weighed down and held back by despair, those who hope in the Lord can rise above their circumstances. You and I, when we place our hope in God, we can rise above the challenges of life just like eagles do. And notice this progression here. He goes from soaring to running to walking. This is good too. This reflects the different seasons of life, because sometimes we're soaring. Sometimes we're on the mountaintop. We're full of faith. We're full of hope. Everything's looking great. We feel so close to God. Other times it feels like we're running a marathon or even walking a marathon, even crawling, plodding through life when things get difficult. But God's promise is when we place our hope in Him, He will sustain us in every season, no matter what we face. That's a beautiful promise. For Israel, at this time, the circumstances were telling a completely different story. It seemed like all hope was lost. It seemed like everything was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. But God's message to Israel and God's message to you and to me this morning and every day thereafter is that though it may seem like everything is lost, though it may seem like everything is destroyed, God is not. God is not, because circumstances may have changed. But God cannot change. He will not change. Even then, and even now, He is faithfully working behind the scenes to bring about His plan to redeem not only Israel, but the entire world. Ultimately, God is getting at this through Isaiah. True hope. Hope that's real, hope that lasts, hope that sustains. True hope is not based on ever-changing circumstances. It is based on a never-changing God. That's true hope. That is biblical hope. Our God never changes. He is always good, even when life is not good. And He promises that He's working all things for our good, no matter how it looks on the surface. And how do we know this? Because you and I, we have the benefit of hindsight. You and I can look back at the scriptures. We can look back at history and see that God kept His promise. Christmas came. Jesus was born into the world, this Savior, this Messiah, this Redeemer. He was born, He lived, and He died for the sin of the world, for yours and for mine. And then He rose again, conquering the power of sin and death in our lives. Jesus is the fulfillment and the embodiment of true hope. And now you and I, we have the promise that when we believe in Him, when we place our faith and our hope in Jesus, we inherit the promise of God, the promise of eternal life and better life here on earth. And that is good news. That is hope that we can hold on to. But there's another side of this. There's another side of this that we can't ignore. And that is the time that we live in right now. A time of in between, where this gift of salvation is available to us, but the day of that salvation hasn't come yet. It hasn't been fully realized yet. Jesus has yet to return. The end of the story has yet to come. So we live in a time of in between, a time of now, but not yet. What we find on this side of eternity is that, unfortunately, we can still be disappointed sometimes. We can still be let down. The promise is assured, but we can still struggle with the tension of waiting, because waiting brings tension. Many of us know how hard it is and how hard it can be to have hope when the waiting period is long and arduous. The disappointments and challenges that we face along the way in life, they have a tendency and a power to tempt us to take our eyes off of the author of life and put them on the circumstances of life. The waiting period, like Isaiah said, it can make us weak and weary. We may feel like all hope is lost because we aren't getting what we want. But here's the thing that you and I need to learn. Here's the thing that you and I need to realize. Waiting and hoping, they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And that's kind of a hard lesson to learn. Have you ever noticed that waiting and hoping kind of have this indirect, inverse relationship with each other, where it seems like, you know, the longer that you wait for something, the dimmer your hope for that thing becomes? The longer you have to wait, it seems like the waiting chokes out the power of whatever we put our hope in. And this is reflected in the Word of God. There are two main ancient Hebrew words that we translate as hope. They're yachal and chavar. Can you say that? Yachal, chavar. You gotta get that kind of deep in the throat thing. I'm not very good at it. But yachal and chavar. You know what both of those things mean? We translate them as hope, but you know what both of them literally mean? They mean to wait for. It means to wait. Hoping is waiting. Yachal, it means to wait for, and it kind of captures one side of the coin. It's about the excitement and the anticipation of waiting, something that you're really excited for, that you're giddy about, like that Red Ryder BB gun on Christmas. That's the side of hope that Yachal captures. But Kavar, it captures the other side. It captures the tension of waiting. It's a word picture because kavar, the root of that word is kav, which means a rope or a cord. And it's this word picture of pulling a cord tight. When you pull a cord tight, it produces a state of tension. So kavar, it captures the other side of waiting, the tension that we feel. Because when it comes to hope, there are two sides of the coin, excitement and tension. God's word acknowledges both aspects, but ultimately, God tells us that what we hope for, though it may be under tension at times, it is worth the wait. It's worth the wait. Because when Isaiah says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, he is saying those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. There is strength to be found even in the waiting. So in order to have the hope that sustains us through life, we gotta learn how to wait. We gotta learn how to wait well. In the letter called Romans that we find in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he captures this relationship between hope and waiting. And he writes to the believers there, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. It's not worth comparing. Yes, the waiting is hard. There are hardships in life. There are challenges, letdowns, disappointments, broken hearts. Paul acknowledges that life can be unfair. Life can be unkind. It's full of hopes that are never realized. But despite that, in the midst of that, for followers of Jesus, there is a glory that is greater than the suffering. And you skip down a couple of verses and he tells us why. He says, for in this hope, we were saved. In this hope, we were saved. He's talking about the hope of salvation, the hope of Jesus, the hope of God's promises being fulfilled to us. He says, those who have their hope in the Lord, those who have their hope in Jesus, they have a promise of glory that is assured no matter what is happening in the present moment. Life may hurt, but the hope that we have, the assurance that we have in Jesus, it's not even a competition. It's not worth comparing. In this hope, we're saved. But, go back. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? I mean, he makes a good point here. Paul is defining hope as trusting in what is unseen, not what's seen. He's saying that if we could already see or fully experience what we hope for, then there would be no need for hope. There would be no need for hope. So we need to learn how to trust in God's promises, even when we can't see how those promises are going to be fulfilled. We have to learn to wait. We have to learn to have hope in the waiting. He says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This can be a problem for many of us, because we don't like waiting. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. We don't like waiting, especially in the world as it is today, when we can have basically anything we want at the tap of a finger. We don't like it. And many of us are doers. How many of us are like type A people? I mean, when there's a problem, we fix it. We get things done. We don't like to sit and wait patiently for something. We want to get in on the action. So it's a problem for many of us, this waiting. Because it feels like we're doing nothing. But when Paul says that we can wait patiently, he's not talking about being passive. This kind of waiting, this kind of hope, it's not passive. It's active. It's not a feeling that we get that just comes and goes. It's something we can anchor our lives in. Hope is not a passive feeling. It is an active choice to trust in God's faithfulness, to be confident that God is who he says that he is and that he will do what he says he will do. And when we choose to hope in the Lord, like Isaiah said, we will renew our strength. We will soar on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not be faint. We will persevere through the difficulties of life, confident that God will fulfill his promises at the right time. That's true hope. That is biblical hope. The hope that keeps us soaring, running, walking through all the storms of life. It's not a feeling. It's not just wishful thinking. It's not simple optimism. It's not based on the odds. Because our hope is not based on circumstances. No, our hope is based on a person. And his name is Jesus. That's who our hope is in. It's based on who he is. On what he's done. And what he says that he's going to do. And since all of us put our hope in something, my question for us this morning, especially for those of us who find ourselves struggling with disappointment of hopes dashed and hopes delayed, what have you chosen to put your hope in? Because it's a choice, remember? What have you chosen to put your hope in? There's gonna be seasons, there's gonna be times when all of us choose to put our hope in something that isn't God. We're human beings. We're not perfect. We may be tempted to put our hope in the job that we have or the spouse that we have, the family that we have. We put our hope in who's in the White House, our relationship status, our social status, our bank account, the car that we drive, the life that we have, the job that we have, our economic status, you name it. We put our hope in it. Maybe that's where you find yourself today. And look, it's not wrong to want certain things in life, to want certain outcomes or certain circumstances. It's not wrong to ask God to change things, to step in, to intervene, to make things better. He tells us to ask. And oftentimes he will. But if we put our hope in those things, if we put our hope in a certain outcome, a certain set of circumstances, rather than God, then the waiting, it will make us weak. It will make us weary. It will rob us of life because it will bring disappointment. And there's no life in that. That's not God. What God wants for you. That's not what God wants for me. There's so much more that he wants to give you. If that's you, God is inviting you in this moment, right here, right now. He is inviting you out of his infinite love for you, out of his care for you as a loving father, to place your hope in the one thing that was meant to hold it in the first place. And that's him. Because he can be trusted. He can be trusted with your hope because his promises are true and because he is working all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. There is no safer place to put our hope than in the hands of our Father. Because when we put our hope in God, our hope is secured and our strength is renewed. The Apostle Peter, who lived with Jesus, who was one of Jesus' closest friends and followers, who lived with the embodiment of hope in the flesh, he said it like this: "Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." Friends, the hope that we have is no ordinary hope. It is a living hope. It is active, and it is able to see us through any circumstance because it transcends circumstances. It is an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. So let's not put our hope in things that can. Let's put our hope in the one thing that can stand the test of time, that will renew our strength. Let's put our hope in Jesus. Let's choose to find life in the living hope today. Heavenly Father, there are many of us here this morning that are disappointed with the way that something's turned out, disappointed with the way that life looks, with the way that life feels right now. There are many of us here this morning that our hopes have been delayed. We're stuck in the waiting. We feel like there's no movement. Some of us, our hopes, we feel like they've been crushed. We're struggling with disappointment, God, but you tell us in your word that those things, those outcomes, they were never meant to hold our hope. You're the only one who can, because you're the only thing that will never fail. You're the only thing that is not only all powerful, but all good. Not only all knowing, but all loving. You sent your son to us. You made good on your promise. So we know that you're gonna finish it. Though we may be disappointed with things on this side of eternity from time to time, we can choose to put our hope in you. Not a dead hope, not an empty hope, but a living hope. Because Jesus, you are alive. Help us, God, give us the faith and the courage to place our hope in you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.